how are you? Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Yeah, my son Joe just had a golf tournament. We were running late, so.
Oh, that's okay. No, how'd you play?
He played great. He played 300, and he's playing in high school golf right now. It's one of those little individual tournaments that you go and you try to get play well and rank well, and yeah. So he's doing well.
We didn't even have a golf team at my high school, so that's better than I can say.
I look rough, but I don't care.
No, we're doing great. Me too. I just literally got out of practice. Thank you so much again for doing this. I'm really excited about it. I reached out to Allie and I was like, please, can you get me in touch with Matt Stover? Like, I know you are such a great guy and you have so much wisdom. So I'm really excited for this one. And I know a lot of people have been asking. They have a lot of questions too. Okay, so this is Matt Stover on the Lineup Podcast, two-time Super Bowl champion, one time with the Ravens, one time with the Colts, 2000 Pro Bowl member, and a first-team All-Pro Bowl also in 2000, and up there in the top 10 leading scorers in the NFL, and also happens to be a big lacrosse family guy, so that's kind of how we have our connection there. But the reason, aside from the rings and all the awards, the reason I really wanted to have you on this podcast is just because I think your story is awesome, and I think for what you stand for is incredible, and the way you go about your career and your charisma and everything that goes with it is so great. And as excited as I am to talk about the rings and the Super Bowl championships and stuff like that, I'm really excited to get to know a little bit more about you and your character and just kind of a little bit more about your story. So thank you again for meeting with me.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for the great introduction. It was a good ride for my career, and I had a lot of people around me that supported me. So, and especially my wife, you know, Debbie. And so you look back at all the things and the opportunities that I had. It wasn't just me. It was me and the Lord and my family and coaches and everybody else around me.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I've been watching a lot of your videos and Faith on the Field, and I definitely want to get into your outlook and the way that you put the Lord forefront of your focus when it comes to sport and when it comes to life in general. I want to get into all of that. I'm really excited for that. But I want to talk, because everyone's been asking me just honestly how it felt to be in the Super Bowl and how it felt to play alongside the best of the best and what it was like walking out on that field, you know, come Super Bowl game day. So what does that look like in that big arena? What's it feel like?
You try not to make it a different game. It's the same game that you've always played, but it's different. It just is. The atmosphere is yeah. Different. You know the consequences. You don't want to be second place. You want to be the winner.
Right.
And as a kicker, you think you're going to win the game. Literally, you're going in there thinking that I'm going to get the ball at the end of the game and I'm going to have to win it. So that's how you go and prepare. And I actually want the ball at the end of the game. You have to continue to prepare yourself for that. So that game is, I would say, heightened anxiety. You do have it. It's a heightened atmosphere. And as a professional though, you accept that, you don't think that you shouldn't deserve to be there. Why not me? Why not this team? And, when you are there, you embrace it. You don't, think of it as, this is great. I'm in the Super Bowl. No, you embrace the opportunity to be the number one team in the world. And, to be able to do that twice was amazing. And, mm-hmm. even though it took me 20 years to do it, but, it is a privilege to be playing the game and much less being able to play for the championship.
Definitely. I loved what you said when, why not me? Why not my team? My freshman year when we won the national championship here at Maryland, and I remember being like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be out here with these people. I'm 17, 18 years old. Like, I don't deserve to be out here. And you said it was after 20 years. So I don't know if you had any of these kind of feelings, but just looking around me and being like, I am playing with the best of the best. But then also taking a step back and being like, yeah, why not me? Like, I worked hard to be here. I've trained to be here. I've mentally and physically prepared to be here. So kind of, I loved what you said, just being like, yeah, like, bring it on. I love, another person I had on my podcast said that pressure is a privilege. And that stuck with me. That's so true. And to be in that situation, especially at the level college, Super Bowl, whatever it looks like, being in that pressure situation is such a privilege. And I think that it speaks highly of you, just how you handled it and how you were able to just lock it in. In those moments, being a kicker, like you said, a lot of times, like, the game, people love you, people hate you. How did you tune out the noise and tune out everything around you and just play?
Well, first of all, how I trained. A lot of times I'm out there mindlessly playing, right? I mean, if you're out there thinking, tend to have a negative thought come in. And so the training that you do eliminates a lot of that thinking. It's the process, it's the routine that gets you going, and you're out there reacting. You're not out there actually thinking too much. And that's a huge piece of my game. The other thing is that I continue to lean on the Lord. I lean on my faith, and it's not about me. It's not about the Matt Stover show. It's about my team. It's about doing everything I can to be the best teammate, to be the guy that they can rely on, and give me the ball, coach, that type of attitude. And also, when you're out there, you're saying, well, if it's not about me, it's about my teammates, it's about God. That takes a lot of the pressure off of you because, you know, it's something bigger than yourself. If it is only about yourself, you're going to find yourself crippling. You're going to find yourself paralyzed out there and know that it is just, it becomes overwhelming because it's like, oh my gosh, if I do this. It's not about me. It's about what I can do for my team.
Oh, that's really great. That's huge. I think a lot of people can learn from that. And especially at the college level where that performance anxiety is so real. I can only imagine at the next level how real it is. And for you to just say and suggest step away, step back and think about the people around you and play for something bigger than yourself. I think a lot of people can take from that. I was watching a Kobe Bryant documentary one time and he said whenever he gets nervous about taking a shot or he thinks too much about his game, he just thinks nobody cares. Like nobody's thinking about me that much. It's not as much about me as I think it is. I could miss 5 baskets in a game and I leave the court, and he said he feels like, oh my gosh, like he'll run it over in his head 100 times. And he said so quickly he learned that no one else is doing that and no one else is thinking that much about you, Matt Stover or Kobe Bryant or Lizzie Colson. No one else is thinking that much about it because he was playing for something bigger. You were playing for something bigger. I definitely played for something bigger. And I think a lot of people could take some knowledge from that, and just it helps you to get out of your own way and helps you to put down that guard, because you're bringing the people around you with you and bringing them up with you. I think that's a really good piece of advice, and I absolutely love what you stand for there. So did you always have that mindset as an athlete? I know you in college, you were in a fraternity and played football. So I don't know if, like, did you always have that mindset? Did it shift? What's your story there?
I was extremely immature growing through college, high school, college, even the first couple of years in the NFL, and it was all about me. And I found myself very nervous. There's a difference between anxiety and being nervous. Nervousness is a sense of doubt. Anxiety is just a natural emotion that we all have. And how do you cope with that anxiety? But when you bring in nervousness, that is when it's overwhelming. It is about me. It becomes a situation where you just perform because you just can't settle down and the negative thoughts come in. Where anxiety, like you got a heightened sense of up, it's your heart beats up, your blood pressure's up. That's just natural. And I'll say that how did I overcome that was through my faith and through the acknowledging it, that it was all about me, and how understanding that being a pro athlete and is this all there is? Because I got into the NFL and it was like, whoosh, this is hard. This sucks. I mean,
it's not all fun and games. It's not all beautiful.
No, it's everybody thinks, oh, it's glamorous to be a professional athlete. No,
it's taxing.
Very hard. And I mean, and people don't feel sorry for you, which I'm fine with. You know, I didn't feel sorry for myself either. It's like, get over it. You can grow up. And so I did. Mm-hmm. And then once I understood that it was about something else, a transcendent cause, something that's greater than myself, it freed me, because even easier, because I knew if I missed it, I did everything I could to the week, summer, off season, everything I possibly could to be as successful as I could. And that's how I govern myself. And I think that's incredibly important, because we all miss shots. We all miss game winning field goals. If you know, Michael Jordan and the number of game winners, he wanted the ball still. And that was because he understood that he was the best player to have the ball. And that's the way I felt about it as a kicker on the team.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's cool. That's really, really cool. Just that preparation that goes into it is incredible. How did you manage that time in college when you were in a frat, but you were also playing at a high level football team. Like, how did you manage your time? I have a hard time doing it, and I'm just playing lacrosse. Like, I don't know how you did that.
Well, I'll have to admit that the fraternity was because socially I was connected with some guys. Two guys on my football team were already in the fraternity, and I had a lot of good friends. And I think it's important that we have friends that are not only on your team, but outside the team. And that you have, when you're in college, I would say that your fraternity is your team. No question that your fraternity is your team. But, being a kicker in the NFL, I'm not so much of a, or a kicker on the football team, I'm not such a football player.
Separate the two.
Yeah. And so I had a little bit different social bent than some of the football players did. Right. And,
right.
And because of that, I chose to connect outside of that a little bit more than connect with it.
Yeah. I think that's important. I think what you said about having friends off the team is something that a lot of people need to think about a little bit more. It's easy to get stuck in this routine of, oh yeah, my team is my fraternity, my team is my sorority. But yeah, expanding that circle. And I know I have a lot of friends that I love to go get coffee with that we just don't talk about sports, and it doesn't take up our whole lives because it's easy. I live with my roommates on my team and it's great and I love it. But yeah, you get wrapped up in sport and you forget almost that there is life outside of sport. So I love having, you know, interconnected circles that I can just go and talk about anything other than sport. As much as I love it, it is nice to step away from it sometimes and just give myself.
And they don't care.
And they don't care. They don't know literally what position I play, and I love it. I love it. And I love that I can just be more than just an athlete in that setting. And so I think that that's cool that my sister went to Gettysburg and she was able to do a sorority and play lacrosse and loved it. Something that she says she did not regret for a second. Found so many friends, and same thing, outside of sport, who just were like, I've never picked up a stick in my life. I literally don't know what you're doing out there, but you're my best friend anyway. Like, it's just, liberating to have that identity as well as your athletic identity.
And when there's, it's funny, a lot of my fraternity brothers, after I got drafted by the New York Giants, they kind of looked at me like, oh, wow, Stover is pretty good. And it was like, during the course of my collegiate career, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty good. But they didn't know.
They don't
and then
care.
Also, when I get to the NFL, I go, oh my gosh, this guy really is? They didn't care.
They're like, yeah, maybe we should start paying attention. Yeah, that is funny.
Okay, so how did being an athlete translate into your everyday life? How has it shaped you into who you are as a father, as a husband? And I know it goes so into faith, and we could talk for hours on this, and I would love to sit down and do it sometime, but how has your faith and your athletic ability shaped you into what you are?
Well, starting with the athletic ability, I mean, I love sports at all levels. I think that in our culture today, failure is not is not something that's ever accepted. I mean, whatever, everybody fails. And you got to deal with failure, and you got to learn how to deal with it and how to embrace it and how not to let it take you down a path to destruction. You have to say, okay, well, yeah, I failed on that, whether it's on a test or, you know, or if it's on the field. And so I believe that athletics really teaches that. I'm from the school, is not everybody deserves a trophy.
Yeah.
Sorry. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, yeah. I mean, and so as a father, you know, with Jenna, who played Division III, as you know, for Messiah, my son Jacob, who was a goalie for Loyola, a first team All-American, they had a ton of failure in their life. And how did they overcome it? It's really what has molded them into the person they are today. I didn't want to protect them from everything, and sports allows a lot of that to happen naturally. I have my 17-year-old son, Joe, who I'm in College Station right now in Texas. He's playing in a golf tournament. Talking about failure a lot of times. Golf. Oh, my God.
Right.
So, I mean, and I want him to learn that and how to overcome those fears of the first tee. You know what it's like right at the beginning of the game, and you're freaking out a little bit, and how you have to calm yourself down over the course. And then he's learning how to do that. That's life in general. So on top of that, you know, where my athletic ability allowed me a lot of privilege. And I always especially a couple of years into the NFL, I saw what a privilege it was to be in the situation that I was in athletically.
Right.
During the course of my immature years, I didn't see it that way. Man, I regret that. I wish I would have really understood that better at a younger age. So whoever your audience is, Liz, I would say this, you know, embrace that privilege now and treat it as that. And when you do, you'll honor it more. And when you honor it more, you'll be better. it won't be like these guys who are, I've seen a ton of athletes that were a bunch of knuckleheads, mm-hmm. and they just weren't performing to the best of their ability because they thought they needed right. to be hung over to be players.
Where's the logic?
Right. Yeah. So, and then my faith, I would say that my faith grounded me. It allowed me to know that I was loved no matter what. Right. It was unconditional love. It wasn't something that was conditional based on what I did on this earth.
Right.
And to me, that was a tremendous amount of freedom, whether it was my being an athlete or a father or a husband. You know, I didn't seek the NFL as my God anymore, as my end all. And because it was hard, it was difficult, it was gross. It was so, I would say, finite. It wasn't infinite. There was an end to it. My career was going to come to an end. And if my identity was all wrapped up in who I was on the field and that came to an end, then who am I? So I had to have a different identity. And I claim that through my relationship with God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that honestly, I always, you know, knew I was more than a lacrosse player. And I said that and I was like, okay, I'm more than just a lacrosse player. But when your whole life, as you know, is centered around sport, it is hard and to see more than that and to see long-term. And then when I did turn my ACL, I was forced to see that. I know I've talked about this in another podcast, so whoever's listening, I feel like I've talked about this before, but yeah, it took me until I tore my ACL to be like, okay, wait, I am actually more than an athlete. And I can say that as much as I want, but then I had to live it. I wasn't playing sports. I wasn't running. I wasn't lifting, nothing. And so I had to actually like live out that, yeah, I have more than just running. I have more than just picking up a lacrosse ball, things like that. And it took until my ACL tear. I'm, like you were saying, kind of embarrassed to say, like kind of old, but we figured it out and we got there, and I'm so happy I did, and I'm so happy that my journey took me the way it did.
And also, I do want you to repeat that, but to add to what you're saying, now in my position that I am now, and even while I was playing, I gave it away. I gave away my knowledge. I gave away my experience. I shared it with other people. Six guys that I coached ended up getting into the NFL. Kickers.
Wow.
Right. And the last one standing is Mason Crosby, who's still the kicker at the Green Bay Packers. And Mason was a little 12-year-old kid, went to my church in Georgetown, Texas.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And so that I love teaching other kids. It's a passion. So, you know, now it's about how I can help others with my knowledge and the talents that I had and the experiences that I had to help them reach their full potential. To me, that's a great purpose. Again, bigger than yourself. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah. Well, yes. And then I'll say something on that too. I just wanted to talk more about like the failure piece of it. I agree wholeheartedly with that. And I think a lot of times kids are like shielded from that. And I can remember when I was in high school, I think I was a sophomore in high school or something like that. And my first real taste of absolute failure. It was the U19 USA tryouts, the final round. I was cut. And that was the first time I can remember just being like cut and being like seriously, seriously hurt from sport. And that failure, yeah, it was a dagger. It really was. And that failure just drove me, absolutely drove me. I was young. I wasn't recruited yet. And I was just like, wait, you know what? Like, let's just get after it. And that was like such a, at the time, horrible feeling, but I think without it, I don't know if I would be where I am today. So I love what you were talking about with that failure. You need it. Kids need it. We all need it. And we learn so much through it.
I was 11 years old when I had my first dagger in my heart. 11. I mean, and it was a dagger. I was a passing kick champion. It was a big deal in the 70s. This is 1979. I'm 11 years old.
Yeah.
I know I'm old. I'm 53 now.
Young.
I got to the halftime show of the Dallas Cowboy New York Giants game.
That's no joke. That alone's pressure.
I am one of two kids at my age group in the whole east of what, you know, the whole region, right? And then if I won there, I was going to the Super Bowl to compete. And I shanked my punt and lost the competition by 5 feet.
Oh, my heart.
That's how much better I was than the other guy, but I lost it by 5 feet, and it just absolutely wrecked my world. I was 11 years old, and I, you know, talking about it, and I'm like you, Lizzie, it lit a fire mm-hmm. underneath me. I said, nuh-uh, I'm never going to let that happen again. Mind you, mm-hmm. it did. I failed, but I worked hard, and I loved to kick, loved it, and that was a driving force, so that's great to hear you did the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I've learned so much through failure. Honestly, probably more than I have through my successes. I learn a lot through my failures. Yeah, it's great. What was I gonna, So I wanted to talk more about what you were just saying about using the platforms and using this as privilege, using the privilege we have to speak to younger kids. And that's exactly why I started this. I started this podcast not to be like some legit podcast platform that's gonna, like, you know, hit the top charts. I just did it so that if it helps one younger girl, one younger boy who's going through something, just to know that, like, there's someone else out there, some other athlete who's been through similar things. And I think that the way that you have done that, you have taken your platform and used it for such good and used it to spread the word of God and used it to show your faith. That is awesome. And I think that's kind of, you've taken kids and you've turned them into Super Bowl kickers. You took them and turned them into NFL players. I don't think I'm doing that with anyone on this podcast yet, but I'm just trying to do on such a smaller scale, just help out. I guess you never know. But just on the smaller scale, just helping those younger kids and sharing the knowledge. And I am learning every day through my experiences and then hoping that it helps someone else that's going through something similar, that they have somewhere to look and have somewhere to turn. So I think that that's awesome what you're doing. And it's inspiring me to do something just like it.
Well, it's kind of funny. There were times when I was competing against a guy in training camp, meaning he was after the job, not my job, but after the job. Uh-huh. And he would see that I'm pretty good. And he would ask me some questions about how you would do certain things. And I would tell him.
Yeah.
And he was blown away that I was willing to help him. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that, well, if God wants me to be here and I'm working my tail off and I'm doing everything I can to be successful, and this guy beats me, then, you know, God's got another place for me. It's okay.
Right.
And so I would help him. And there are many times that they didn't ask, I didn't say anything, or, you know, I just killed him with kindness a lot of times.
Yeah.
He just went, what? This guy's
he's probably
nice.
Like, so, yeah. So third off. He's like, what? He's probably about to do the opposite of what you tell him, because he thinks you're like sabotaging him.
I was like, wait a second. Yeah. And with that, all the guys that did I competed with or against, I still have good relationships with all of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's incredibly important during the course of our career, because I never want to not be a good witness. Have I had my moments where I got angry at practice and maybe said something I shouldn't have?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry. That's why. I'm forgiven. Those type of things. But there are those other times when I went 0-for-3 in a game, meaning missed all 3 field goals, and we lost because of me. I mean, period. And the team, I had Ray Lewis and a few coaches and a few players said, well, Stoves, we got those out of the way. You're going to be good for the rest of the season. Of course, I didn't feel that way, but I took personal responsibility for that failure and for that performance, understood what happened was I was too busy off the field. And my wife and I began to understand that, you know what, Matt, you're trying to be super dad, super husband. Why don't you back off a little bit, get focused, and then get back to work. And so I couldn't wait to get back to work on the next week. And then one kick, and I only missed one kick field goal for the remainder of the 15 games. Wow. And because the team still had faith in me, they didn't blink an eye, they didn't blame the game on me, even though I took responsibility for it. And I went back to work. And understood too that I want your listeners to remember this. You need to journal during the course of your career. You need to put it down, what your thoughts are, what your feelings, what your prayers are, how you practice, what you did in practice, your workouts. You need to put it down so that you have a reference point the next year or the year after that. It's also a great reference point. So I have 19 different spiral meat notebooks that has every practice, every field goal in practice. It has all my notes, has every preparation for every game, all my prayers, my five goals for each one of those weeks. And then from there, I was able to refer back to that prior year. And I referred to it in a way that, okay, what was I doing last year that I had so much success? And why did I just go 0-for-3 in this game? Mm-hmm. And it was because I made an adjustment in my swing, you know, my kicking technique, because I moved back a little bit. I stood a little bit straighter up and I swung harder because I wanted to kick the ball further and, you know, higher. And because I was competing against a young kid, I was getting older. So what happened was I went back and it says move up, slow up, watch the ball. So move up, slow up means that you're not able to kick the ball near as far, and you're just able to kick it more accurate. And so I moved up, slow up, and I watched the ball, and I missed one field goal for the rest of the year. And that was a 54-yard field goal. So it was because I had that journal. It was because I understood who I was as a player. And I reverted and said, you know what? That's right. I need to stick with who I am. I know my limitations. Right. If you know your limitations as an athlete, and we all have them, and, you know, it would be great, Lizzie, for you to be able to run a 4.35 40, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
You just don't. I mean, I know you're fast.
Not that fast.
So we all have those limitations. So how do you deal with those limitations, and then understanding what those limitations are and playing within them? There are moments, though, that you are pushed outside of those limitations, and because of the preparation, your confidence and the trust that you have with around you, then you're able to go out there and perform to that level. And I've done that. I mean, where there is moments where they went, how in the heck did you just make that field goal? I said, hey, sometimes you just got to do it. You got to say, all right, Lord, let's go.
I was reading this thing, and she's an Olympic runner, and she was talking about preparation and kind of what you were just talking about, and feeling good and like feeling ready for that like challenge that's outside maybe your comfort zone. And she was saying that there's like a 30-30-30 rule. Like, you should be like 30% like, okay, like I could do this. I could definitely do this. 30% like, I can't do that. And 30% like, heck yeah, let's do it. Because that 30% that's like, I can't do that is enough to be like drive you. Like, if you think you can do that, and I'm always like, oh, I could do that. I could do that. Then it's not hard enough. That 30% that's like, oh, I can't do that. It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit daunting. Like, that you need that. You need that challenging thing that, yeah, like you were saying, it's going to get you out of your comfort zone and it's going to push you. But you can't make it a thing that's going to be so unreasonable, a 4.34. Like, you can't make it so unreasonable. But it has to be a little bit scary and a little bit daunting to make you a better athlete and to make you a better person if it's not even an athletic goal.
Well, as you see yourself down by 5 in the fourth quarter and you're sitting there going, all right, well, this is the situation we're in, right? There's nothing you can do about it at that moment except get the first goal, get the second goal, get the third goal, and understanding that I have to play a part in that. So you embrace the situation that you're in. So as a kicker, it's always, all right, okay, the score is 27-24. We got 4 minutes and 18 seconds left in the fourth quarter. I've got to go out there and I've got to kick the game tying field goal, you know, period. I'm already in it, but I've already prepared for that. So you're constantly thinking how and what you're going to need to do in order to be that difference maker. And you're always embracing it. And you can say, no, I can do that. Just get me as close as you can. You tell the offense, yeah, just get me as close as you can. We're in this situation. Just, we got to do it. So just so without saying anything like, you got to get me to a 53-yard or 48-yard field goal. You just get me as close as you can, and then do the rest.
You do your job and I'll do mine. That's cool. I really like that. I was talking the other day with one of my friends. She was just kind of asking how she's coming back from an injury. Like, how do you get confident again after an injury? How do I put myself out there after coming back from so much? And I was like, I can't tell you how to be confident. I went through a similar injury. I was like, I can't tell you how to go out and be confident. I can tell you what I did, and I can tell you how I practiced confidence and coming back. And I was like, part of it was crying. Part of it after my injury, before I stepped foot on the field, was just crying and being like, am I okay to do this? And then another part of it was just absolutely buying in and trusting God and trusting the work that I've done and trusting every ounce of hard work that I've put into that recovery. But it goes so much further. How did you find that confidence in those moments on the field when maybe you were stepping up and, you know, you said, get me as close as you can, but in the back of your head, you're like, was there ever a moment when you were like, oh, I'm asking you to get me as close as I can, and I think I can do this, but what if I, how did you deal with that uncertainty?
Well, you started with injury. Oh, you're talking about working on your emotions is being injured. Being injured means that you're hurt. I mean, you can't play, but being hurt means that you're playing in pain. And I've been there, and I've had ruptured discs. I've had, you know, pull quads and groins, and I never missed a game. And it was always because I fought to have grit. And I think it really comes down to that grit factor. You know, what is your pain tolerance, and what are you willing to subdue yourself to be great? And why not? So I wanted to be that player that my team could depend on no matter what. So I'm out there in 2001, the year after the Super Bowl, kicking with a pulled quad, And I had done all this work on it. I've done everything I could to get out there to get myself ready to play. And of course, first quarter, first possession, what do you think the field goal was? Do you think it was a 29-yard field goal?
Of course not. That'd be too easy.
It was a 49-yard field goal. And it was like, oh my, you know, so I went, all right, let's go.
Yeah, bring it on.
I can remember what the air smelled like. Because I was so emotionally attached because I was so vulnerable out there, right? And how, because I'm in pain, I'm hoping my leg holds up. I absolutely smoked it, went right through the middle. And it was like one of the biggest kicks of my career. Nobody knew it. And it was because it's that grit factor. It's that willingness to put yourself through that and trust it, knowing that you did everything you could. And there are those moments, though, that still doesn't go through. But if your identity is all in the sport, right, it's going to take you down a path of you know, almost depression, where if it's not who you are, but you understand that, you know what, this is unfortunate. God's got me going through this for a reason. It's going to be for my best. I'm going to trust it. And then you just embrace that as well. I think that's something that we all have to deal with.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that's something I hold close to my heart. And I know after games, I can't sleep because I'm thinking about like every single play, but not in a way that I'm like, oh, well, it's the end of the world. Like, I'm never going to be okay again. We just lost. Like, it's not in that way. It's just that I care a lot about it. And if anyone who knows me is like, oh yeah, like you're definitely super invested, but it's that I can't sleep because it's like, well, I know I miss that ground ball. I know I miss that draw control, but it's not in a way that it's like, oh my God, my life is over. Like, we just lost that game. Like, there is so, so much more to me and to everybody out there. That sport is not who I am. It's part of who I am, and it's part of what's made me who I am, but it's definitely not who I am. And it just goes back to what you were saying about the friends and the people you surround yourself with who can see more of that. And your faith has allowed you to see the best version of yourself and the best part of you. And while sport is a great part of you, it is not the best part of you. And I think that's really, really cool.
Well, real quick about that too. I mean, when you're playing, you want, it matters so much to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You devote a lot of time.
Of course it's going to be painful. Of course you're going to, it's going to take you're a warrior. You're out there in the battle. I mean, if you don't have that mindset out there, like I'm a sniper on the top of the roof and I'm taking out all the enemies because I'm the guy who cleans it up after you guys can't get it done. And so that's how I envision myself. And so I'm jacked up too, emotionally. I'm invested.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, look at all the biblical characters were the same way. King David, how dare you call out my God like that? And he kills Goliath with a slingshot, you know?
Yeah.
So you are emotionally invested. You do want to be that difference maker. And if it didn't matter, then you're not going to ever reach your potential. You see those people that they act like it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. You know, so
I think that those people that it's like, oh, it doesn't really matter, maybe comes from a place of fear of failure and goes back to fear of just being rejected or denied. And it does matter if you're out here, if you're next to me on the field. I know that it matters to you. You wouldn't put in the hours if it didn't. You wouldn't wake up for early training and stay late and stay after practice. It matters, but I think people just show it in different ways. And yeah, you want to be invested. It's something we've spent so much of our lives doing that if you weren't upset after a loss, it'd be like, okay, maybe you don't care. But so it is definitely important.
You know, Pat Spencer, of course, two-time winner. You know, Pat's a great friend of my son, Jacob's. And I mean, I know people who hate losing, but Pat really hated losing.
Yeah.
I mean, man, stay out of his way. So, you know, and look where it got him. I mean, it's okay. It's where do you take it? And he had a good balance about his life too. But, and I hated losing too, but we all know how easy it is to lose and how hard it is to win.
One of your quotes in Faith on the Field said, if I'm going to emulate who Jesus is, I'm not going to be prideful or boastful. And you said, people are watching you. Be humble. That quote is so good. Can you just talk on that a little bit? And how do you be humble but confident, not prideful, not boastful, but still be confident? How do you share that humble with people? Like, talk a little bit on that.
First of all, you better walk it, period. Yeah. You better walk it, because that locker room, there, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, they're going to look at you like, all right. You know, so when I went 0-3 in 2005, that game, and everybody was going, well, all right, now, what are you going to do now? You know, because you claim to be this guy. And man, I went to work. I took responsibility. I manned up to the whole media afterwards. That was my fault. And that's never going to happen again. And it didn't. right? And I went out there with that resolve, and to know that, you know, if I claim to be perfect, which I don't, I claim to be a sinner. Therefore, because of that sinfulness, I have Jesus in my life to take care of that sin for me, right? Yeah. And so in my life, I continue to live that way. And I said, don't validate who Jesus is based on my life, please. But I'm going to do everything I can to emulate him so that you will see the freedom and the peace that I have in my life.
I just want to talk more about how your mindset shifted once you found your faith and once you found God and how it showed in your game.
Well, without any question, Lizzie, it freed me for the ability to be so self-centered. It allowed me to understand that it wasn't about me. That shift allowed me the ability to walk away from the game and not be fear of being cut. And I think that's incredibly important, because when you're over the fear of being removed from the game, you know, because that'd be the worst thing you could ever think of as an athlete. One way, you know, through injury or through a missed field goal or, you know, bad performance or whatever it is. And that freedom gave me the ability to have more courage. Isn't that amazing? It just did. And I had so much more courage, because then give me the ball. It didn't matter if I went out there. It mattered, but it didn't matter as much.
Didn't because define you.
It didn't define me. That's exactly right. So I think, and it's tough. It's a battle. It is not easy to do that. I mean, people think, oh, you make it sound so easy. It's a battle, because let me tell you, I'm on the sideline and there are times when those thoughts come into my mind. What if? You know, what if I miss? Oh, if I keep missing, I'm going to get cut. You know, those thoughts came in, they still came in, but I would capture those thoughts and I would cast away and I would bring God's word back into place that God is for me. Who can be against me? God wants to bless me. He doesn't want to bring me harm. He wants to bring me and he wants to prosper me. He wants to give me those things. And I claim that, because when you hear the word, you suck, you're no good, all those things. Mm-hmm. And what happens to you is you find yourself being attacked by the enemy. And that is not from God. God's going to say, lean on me and lean on my understanding, and I will make your path straight. And I will guide your path, and I will make you a great warrior. And those are the things that I leaned on. And it just gave me even more courage to be successful.
Wow. That's awesome. That is so good. I have one more question for you, and it is kind of the vaguest one I've asked so far, but I'm asking everyone that comes on this, what is the best piece of advice you have been given, whether it's athletically or completely unrelated to athletics? Like, what is something that stuck with you?
Well, live life you don't look back with regret. And I think that means you need to love more.
Yeah.
Right. You need to love more and you need to forgive more, because I think there's too many times in our lives we have bitterness and we don't forgive people. We don't love, and you need to take more risk in life. Mm-hmm. You just need to take some more risks, and as long as you're healthy risks, right? But you know, not the stupid risks, I'm not saying, but take some more risks so that when you look back at your life, you can say, you know what, I did that.
I did that.
It was okay. You know,
right.
I'm not going to tell you that it was just, you know, it always turned out great, but, to love more, to forgive and take some risks in life. And you'll never know where it gets you. And, my wife and I have been very blessed, on and off the field and, you know, and taking some risks with your children or with some of your finances, if you do it properly, you know, those type of things. And even with relationships, you know, if you do have somebody who you just don't get along with and you take the risk to say, look, man, I know that we've had our differences, but please forgive me. To me, that's a risk, and it takes courage to live life like that.
Gosh,
but man, you can look back at life and say, man, I lived it well. And I want to have earned that live well. I don't want to have looked back and gosh, I should have done this, should have done that. That's regretful. I don't want to live like that.
Right. Oh, that's so good. That is awesome. You were incredible. And I am so excited that we got to talk, and I'm so excited to post this and like let everyone hear these awesome words. You were really, really great. And I cannot speak highly enough of what you stand for and how you carry yourself. Again, thank you so much. 2-time Super Bowl champ, Matt Stover. Thank you for coming on the lineup with us. This was so fun.
Thank you, Lizzie. And you're a fantastic host. You did a great job. So well done. You made it easy.
Thank you. You made my job easy. Lots to talk about. Thank you so much. And go help your wife out. Happy wife, happy life.
No kidding. See ya. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.